Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Quint Studer has built a thriving career on helping healthcare companies achieve maximum effectiveness and consistent bottom line results. Now, in Results That Last, he brings his ideas to the rest of the business world. Studer teaches leaders in every industry how to apply his tactics and strategies to their own organizations to build a corporate culture that consistently reaches and exceeds its goals. Quint, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here.
Quint, in a nutshell, how would you describe your theory behind achieving lasting results for a company?
We have found in our research that companies can be good for a while. They can be good in a crisis. They can step up to the plate when they need to. They can have periods of success. But how do you sustain it? So what are the secrets behind results that last? We find there's three major secrets. Number one is a good evaluation system. When we work with organizations, we find the listener should ask this question. Is it possible for somebody to perform poorly and still get a good evaluation? And most companies say yes. If that's true, you won't get results at last, because as soon as those people get a good eval for poor performance, we call it what you permit, you promote. The second aspect of results that last is, are there specific behaviors, standardized leadership behaviors that we call hardwiring? And hardwiring means you put into place, so you just don't do them when you want to do them, but they basically consistently are done day in and day out. And the third probably secret results that last is the ability to fire low performers. We find that when we work with organizations that they'll get a short-term gain because your high and middle performers will change behavior, their move, they're being reinforced, rewarded, but that low performer just stays there waiting for, give me the t-shirt, give me the pin, give me a slice of pizza, call me in 3 years. And if you don't have a way of dealing with those low performers, they eventually, I'll use a clinical term, suck the life out of the rest of the organization.
And how would you apply your insights specifically to the economic downturn that we're in right now?
There's no magic that says if you're in a downward industry that if you do this, you won't be in the downward industry. But I think what you will do is you'll develop a flexibility that you'll be able to move much quicker in an organization. For example, we work with the newspaper right now, and an average newspaper is down 8 to 9%. This one's up 48% in advertisement right now. We work with a newspaper in Asheville, same thing. They're having great results. So my belief is if you take great care of your customers, which is what Results That Last is about, make sure you retain and hold on to those great employees and train your leadership team, you will always outperform the environment, even in tough economic times.
Very interesting.
I think today we can absolutely show that if you do certain leadership behaviors, certain leadership tools, certain leadership techniques, you will achieve better outcomes. Training is crucial. When we ask leaders, what do you want in an organization? They ask for three things. Clear goals, so I know what you want me to accomplish. Priorities, so I know how much time you want me to spend on each goal. And three, would you please give me the training so I can be successful?
Now, you've talked about leadership behaviors, goals. How do these come together to create standardized leadership?
Okay, well, if the goal, for example, is to reduce turnover, we find that if there's one thing that an organization has to be great at, it's selection and retention of new employees. 27% of people that quit a job quit within their first year of employment. And if we can keep them from quitting, then we double our chances. From then on, if they stay 5 years, there's an 80% chance they'll stay forever. So our goal would be to reduce turnover. Now we put certain processes in place. For example, probably our most famous process we get a lot of publicity in is key interviews with new employees once they've been hired on the 30th and 90th day.
Okay.
We can demonstrate that if you do certain behaviors the 30th and 90th day with new employees, you'll reduce that turnover 66%. The first year. So the goal was reduce turnover. The process is 30 and 90 day meetings. So the process supports the outcome.
Quint, how do you know which processes and even what behaviors are most appropriate for your company?
I think you look at the outcomes you want to achieve.
So you work backwards.
Yes. Going back to what Stephen Covey always talked about, you start with the end in mind. So for example, if you know that your outcome is same store sales, then you know what processes can you put in place to create same store sales, which is again, turnover, training of employees, cross-selling. In the medical field, which we're very familiar with, for example, we know that if a patient gets a phone call within 48 hours after leaving a hospital, there's a 98% chance they'll recommend that hospital. If they don't get a phone call, there's about a 40% chance they'll recommend that hospital. We know that if you call a patient when they leave and ask them, do they understand their home care instructions, there's over a 90% chance they'll say yes. If you don't get a phone call, it drops down to about 20%. So if the outcome is to make sure that patients get good care, they don't get returned to the hospital, one of the behaviors you would put in is what we call the discharge phone call.
Now, you've been citing statistics. If I were the head of a company or the head of HR and I wanted results that last, how would I determine these statistics? Do I have to do original research?
I don't think so. What we do with organizations is we like them to see their return on investment. I never accept the word soft because I can't tell you how many times people say, well, isn't that soft? And I'll say, when research shows that if you lower employee turnover, you increase same store sales. That's not soft. When research shows that you do certain calls, for example, we know if you're an appointment business, that if you call a person prior to an appointment, take your current no-show rate, reduce it 70%. That's not soft. So what we would do based on your question with human resources, we would sit down and say to them, what do you want to accomplish? Where do you want your workman's comp to go? Where do you want your turnover to go? And when you look at just one or two numbers, and then you go to the finance person, because if an outsider gives them a return on investment, they're going to question it. I go to the chief financial officer and I say, tell me what these numbers mean to you. They'll say, for example, gee, it's $38,000 for replacement of employee. So anytime we save an employee, that's $38,000 cost savings. So we basically have them put a return on investment on it.
A bit earlier, you talked about evaluation systems. What kind of evaluation systems would best work in a company?
We find you can almost break organizations into five components. So we sit down and we try to get very measurable goals in the area of service, quality, people, finance, and growth. There's the service component, which is usually how do your customers feel about you, which can be same store sales. It can be how many returns do you get. Under quality, it can be returns. Then there's usually a people component, things like turnover, overtime, employee retention. Under finance, then it's usually operating income, bottom line. Then under growth, it can be things like sales.
You know, I like your book because you actually get into tactics that companies can use, whether it's the top of the firm or the HR department. What are some examples of tactics you would use to get results that last?
I appreciate you saying that because I've read a lot of books over the years and I know what I want to do, but they really don't tell me how to do it. So we try to be very specific in the how. I've already given you a few. For example, if you have an appointment type business, look at your no-shows, reduce it 70%, figure out what type of money is that to the bottom line. A pre-phone call reduces your no-shows. If you want to get people to recommend you, if you call somebody after they've had your service, the likelihood of recommending goes up about 90 to 98%. If you don't call them, you'll probably max out at about 68 to 70%. Let me give you again, probably our most popular one, a 30 and 90 day meeting, we call it. Here are the questions to prepare. The first question is, how well do we compare to what we said we were going to be like? 27% of people that quit their job already know within the first 30 days they're unhappy. And it's usually over, my training's not what I thought it was going to be, my job is different than I had assumed it was going to be, or my schedule isn't quite what you had promised me. And if we can fix those or talk about those misunderstandings, we'll probably retain someone that we thought made sense to hire. The second question is, tell me what's working well. Because when new employees go, they're sort of frustrated because it's not as easy, it's not as smooth, they don't have the relationship, so they go home and they think about what's wrong. So I want to say, tell me what's going well. And then I'd say, who's been helpful to you? And all of a sudden, Dave says, you know, Florence. And I said, well, tell me how. Well, you know, my last place, we didn't have this type of software system. We didn't use SharePoint. Florence took a lot of time to explain how SharePoint works. So then I can go to Florence and say, Florence, I was talking to Dave. He was very complimentary about the time you spent with him explaining SharePoint. Research shows that if an employee gets 3 compliments to 1 criticism, they feel positive. 2-1 is neutral, 1-1 is negative. The third question is where I think a lot of people miss it. We've worked with 6 Malcolm Baldrige winners in the last 7 years. And one of the things we find is the ability to harvest and get input from your stakeholders. So all of a sudden, Dave's brand new. Obviously, I hired Dave because he has experience. And I would say, Dave, what would be some things that we can learn from where you worked before that would make us better? Most new employees hear something like this. You don't work there anymore. That's not how we do it. Why don't you go back? Which means we've actually taken a new employee who wants to give input and we've told him to shut up. The fourth question is there any reason you would think about leaving? Because if we don't ask it, they won't tell it, even though they're thinking it. Then on the 90th day, we add 2 more questions. We do the same 4, but we add, is there anybody you've worked with other places that would be a good fit here? Because, see, that's the best place to get new employees, people that they've worked with before. And as your supervisor, what can I do to be helpful? What we just gave is standardized 30 and 90-day evidence-based leadership that if you do these, you will reduce your turnover 66%. And by the way, if you're a leader and you change your behavior, even if you're changing it positively, you've got to tell your employees you're changing or you're going to scare the heck out of them. Dave, I haven't complimented you in 12 years, and all of a sudden I bring you in and start giving you glowing compliments. You're going to walk out of the office, and somebody's going to say, what did he want? And they're going to say they changed his medication. What I'm trying to say is even good leaders, when you change behavior, you got to warn people what you're doing.
Right. Quint, one last question. What is the core of your philosophy?
The core of our philosophy is people work like a flywheel. In the middle of our flywheel is purpose, worthwhile work, and making a difference. We believe as a leader that our main job is to help our employees feel pretty good about what they do. And there's no work that is insignificant. I'm working with an oncologist. He had a terminally ill cancer patient. The cancer patient came to him and said, you know, that receptionist out there makes me feel great. When that patient left, the oncologist went out and said, the man who's leaving is dying. You make him feel great. A friend of mine, Norm Adams, went up to a street sweeper and said, thank you. When you clean these streets, it sure makes it a lot better place to walk. And then he said, when was the last time somebody told you that? And he said, no one's ever said that. So I think the core is that we need to connect our workforce back to why they're doing what they're doing, purpose, worthwhile work, and making a difference. Then around the core is passion. We know it takes 3 compliments to every 1 criticism. Prescriptions is what I've given you from the 30-90, the pre-phone call, the post-phone call, the how to fire people. We do an awful lot on how to fire people because if we don't fire the low performers, they'll eventually take the life out of the high and middle performer. And then lastly, the results. If we measure the results from service, quality, people, finance, and growth, that keeps the flywheel turning. And that's really what we want to do, is get the operational flywheel turning as smoothly as possible.
Quint, I want to thank you for being with us here today. It's really been informative, and I'm sure the results that people have heard will last.
They will last. I find that people like you that read the book come back and say, it was very prescriptive. What most leaders want is they want to do a good job. They just need the how. And what we tried to do is provide them with the how.
Our guest today has been Quint Studer, author of the book Results That Last. Just remember, we really need your feedback. So please drop us an email at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That number again is 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.